Welcome to EAA Radio and Squawk 1200. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Paul Prydecker.
I'm Afterburner Al.
And this segment, we're going to have a little conversation about automation in aircraft. And the aircraft of today have a lot more automation, and there are a lot of great things about automation, but this has also led into a problem of over-reliance on the automation.
But first...
There's some really interesting things coming up today. At 12:30, you're going to see the world premiere arrival of the F-35. And
the Joint Strike Fighter, which has gotten a lot of press lately. Now, there was one report in January that the F-16 beat the pants off of it. But then Lockheed came back and said that didn't have all the software installed, and so it'll do better, and plus all the cost overruns. So...
nonetheless, it'll be an exciting flight.
Yes, it will be.
It's got a lot of very unique features to the aircraft, and we always like seeing new and exciting aircraft, so I'm excited to see that.
I think it will be exciting because this airplane was designed to basically cover all the needs of all the branches that have aviation capabilities, all the military branches that have aviation capabilities. So it would be interesting to see exactly as they implement it operationally if it does indeed fulfill all of those.
Well, but unfortunately, as many people know, if you try and build something that does everything, it doesn't necessarily do any one thing well.
Correct.
And that's one of the big criticisms is that, yeah, it can drop bombs and it can do dogfighting, but because you've designed it to drop bombs, its dogfighting capabilities are way reduced.
It has the integrated weapons bay, so it's not outside the airplane, so not carrying anything outside the airplane. And maybe that has to do with the kind of performance it needs to have.
Radar cross-section is reduced.
Right, the radar cross-section, it has to be stealth. Also, there will be slight adaptations for carrier, things like that, although it does have, right, it's vertical takeoff.
There is a version of it that has some sort of vertical. I can't say that it's 100% vertical, but I think it's very short. I'm not an expert.
Maybe we'll get
aircraft.
The full picture when
it
arrives.
Just going to suggest we'll just all listen, and the people with the real information will speak about it.
Yes.
And you can hear it on our air, and those of you who are on the grounds can also see with their eyeballs while listening to the feed.
And the Airbus 350 will be departing this afternoon also. So there's some fun and exciting things to see that you're not going to see anywhere else in the world.
Did any of you go aboard?
I haven't made it yet. Yeah. No. Have you made it?
No. I was just wondering if it was like when the A380 came here, it was the first one, so it had all the
test equipment in it.
I'm just wondering if that's this one as well, or is it...
My impression is it's configured for passenger operations.
Okay. So they wanted to show it off a little bit and maybe sell some more airplanes.
Perhaps so.
I'll write them a check. All right.
Yeah.
So continuing to our discussion on over-reliance of automation... a lot of the airplanes are a lot more sophisticated. Have either of you flown with like a Garmin 1000, G1000?
Well, in my airline career, of course, the aircraft are have a reasonable level of automation, but also, you know, you just have to look around the fleets that are on the grounds today, and so many of them are so well equipped. And I know that the public press has been very vocal about saying that pilots have become too reliant on automation, but I tend to take a different viewpoint on this. I think automation is a wonderful thing that pilots need to embrace and use and understand. What I think sometimes might be missing is that it's not so much an over-reliance on automation, but maybe an under-emphasis on some of the core skills that become the basis of automation.
Yeah, if you don't know how to read an approach plate,
For example,
all of the automation to fly that approach isn't going to do you any good if you didn't set the right altitude because you didn't read it correctly on the plate.
I mean, one of the challenges of managing automation is to also manage what happens when it's not working properly. And the more sophisticated automation becomes, the failure modes have to be taught. And in some cases, there's no simulation for all of the failure modes of automation. So it becomes a learning training problem to say, how do we teach people not only how to use it when it's working, but how to recognize the various failure modes.
Right. And the perfect example of that is the Air France crash.
Of course.
Where they had ice crystals in the pitot tubes, so they lost all of their airspeed indication. And the pilots thought that they were over speeding, so they were trying to pitch back to slow down the airplane. Yes. And the airplane, which should never, ever, ever be able to stall, is what they claim. Unfortunately, it had reverted back to a mode where it could stall. And the pilots didn't realize it was in a reverted mode, and they pancaked it in. I think the first officer realized finally that they were in a stall rather than an overspeed situation, but by the time he figured it out, it was too late.
And it was rather protracted. You brought up the Garmin 1000, and for me, having started on round dials, and I went into professional aviation and dealt with various levels of automation, but I kind of skipped over the GA renaissance of that, all that automation there. So if I got into I'm kind of reverse. If I got in, sat in an airplane with a Garmin 1000, I would have problems with the automation just because I wouldn't know how to rely on it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to get to the chance of the over-reliance. Now, that's not necessarily a problem, but it's kind of interesting that certain people, where they enter in on the evolution of avionics, either can't backdate or revert to an earlier version, as we'll use software parlance.
Well, you make an interesting point. And when I teach classes and discuss automation, I tell people that the older people, like myself, of course, we grew up on round dials and learned to do the analog way, and then eventually transitioned over to managing automation. And I refer to us as we're digital immigrants. And the people mm-hmm. who are the younger generation who have lived in the digital world, they're digital natives. And both of us can operate in that world. What we're trying to avoid, though, is the people that are digitally dependent, mm-hmm. because we want to make sure that people have the core set of skills that can help them, you know, manage a flight with or without automation.
And before we explore this a little bit further, I think we should differentiate just slightly. When we're talking about automation, there's kind of two little parts to this. There is the automation of what kind of navigational display are you looking at and where you're going, and then there's the actual automation that telling the autopilot, right? Well, if you're flying in an airline cockpit, for example, there are three pilots in the airplane. There is the two pilots, they're human, and then you have the autopilot. They all follow a computer which tells it where to go, and you have to tell the autopilot how to follow that computer, and that is one part of the automation, and there's the one I mentioned before.
Well, and I think actually if you break this down, there might be four levels of automation, or four levels of, shall we say, flight path control. Mm-hmm. The most basic level, of course, is just manually flying the airplane.
Yeah.
Look out the window, manage it yourself. The next level is to follow a flight director, which of course is getting its inputs from the onboard computers.
But you still have to tell the flight director what you want it to do.
That's correct.
And if you don't tell it correctly what you do, it's garbage in, garbage
out. That's right. Yeah. And then beyond the flight directors, then you have autopilot control. And then the final level is marrying all that up to actual navigation, where it's following a pre-described course. So there's mm-hmm. various levels of entry into this topic. Mm-hmm. I still say that automation should be used and should be embraced because of all the safety enhancements, but it does have to be managed and understood.
Right, and the much newer aircraft can have also a vertical component of automation where
sure.
it will reach a certain point and it'll start your descent, and then you get to a level where it'll even pull the power back, but you still have to know how to manage all of that
and recognize
correctly.
That it's yep. programmed properly.
Yep, and I know there's a problem specifically with the Airbus that on the OPD arrivals, that, and I'm not an Airbus driver, but I've had an Airbus person describe this to me. So long and the short of it is, if you did something to the computer, it would wipe out the altitude restriction and it would just start driving down right away. And so then they had to learn, well, in this airplane with this automation, you can't do this one specific thing. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So it's also very much airplane dependent, and you have to know your systems and know your software so that you can not run into traps for that aircraft.
And these systems also, you can revert them back to those round dial-ish type displays, and that's where being able to kind of understand that basic stuff comes in handy when you have to revert.
Right. Absolutely.
And there's a lot of really, really good discussions happening about that. And I know there's some people on the grounds here that are talking about automation and how to better manage it. And we would encourage people to find some of those resources and look into it. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Paul Prediker. Let's all stay safe out there.
Afterburner Al.
And we'll be back after this short break. You're listening to EAA Radio.